Okay, well, good evening. Is it good? I don't know. It might not be good. Good evening. It's really good to see you. If we haven't met before, then my name is Chris, and I'm a part of the staff team here at Christchurch, and I've been here for nearly 6 years, married to Helena, and we have two girls, Jessica, who's six-ish, and Rafi, who is three and a half-ish. They're usually here, actually, but tonight they're in Bath, getting wet in a hose or something. I don't know. I got a picture. It was great. I think that's just the girls, not Helena, but maybe Helena too. Great. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and ask them, what's the thing you love the most about the summer? Okay, you got 1 minute. Go. Okay, brilliant. I hope you had a good conversation. The thing that I love most about summer is mainly the hay fever and the burning. Yeah, that's the thing that I love mainly the most. Any fellow burners in the room? Any fellow burners? Yeah, a few. Who are the tanning people? So I can look on you with disdain. And, I'm joking, I love you. Brilliant. So we're in part four of a series on identity, and I'm here to speak to you about a certain element of that, which we're going to begin to unpack in a minute. But before I do, I thought it was worth just sharing with you that as I've prepared this, I've felt like there's been just lots of strands that have been floating around that kind of all have made sense to me independently. And I found it quite hard to bring the strands together. Now, what that means is that I feel like I just want to ask you just to stick with me as I go, because I think the strands are going to come together in the end. They're going to come together, but it might just take a little while just to set it up and to get it into a place where it comes together. I also have an expectation that tonight we're going to pray for people. So have that in the back of your mind. If the Lord begins to speak to you specifically and you would like to pray with someone later on, there'll definitely be that opportunity. Okay, so if I was to play you this 90s classic TV theme tune, I don't think that many people in the room are going to get it tonight, but what would you say the TV show was called? Go on then, Mark. Does anyone recognise the tune? A few people recognise it. Yeah, if you weren't here this morning. Okay, hands up if you were born in the 90s. That's not going to work. Okay, thanks, Mark. Okay, anyone take a guess? If you weren't here this morning, do you know what the name of the TV show was? Catherine. Keeping Up Appearances. That's right. The TV show was called Keeping Up Appearances. And so the title of my message today is Keeping Up Appearances. Keeping Up Appearances. For those of you who have no idea what that show is about, which is the majority of you, It's about mainly about this older married couple who live in a very well-to-do part of town, who spend most of their lives, and particularly the wife of the couple, spend most of their lives working extraordinarily hard to make everything look perfect, to make sure that their lives are presented in a certain way so that it looks absolutely perfect from the outside, whilst at the same time working equally hard to hide the bits of their lives that they don't like very much, and particularly the people in their lives and family members in their lives that they don't like very much. Tonight, it's all about keeping up appearances. I wonder how many of us in the room, when it comes to our identity, how many of us live life a bit like we're just trying to keep up appearances? That we work really, really hard to present something on the outside which looks like a perfect thing. It looks great. It's all good on the outside. But on the inside, we're really, really struggling to hold it all together. Keeping up appearances. I could ask it in a slightly different way, and I'm going to get to this in a second in a bit more detail, but how many of us spend significant portions of our time in life living life from the outside rather than from the inside? We're going to come back to that question in a second. If you've got a Bible with you, that'd be great. Now's a good time to open it. Electronic devices are totally okay if you have them. I won't think you're texting, although that's fine too. I don't mind. I love this portion of scripture. I love the story of David. I love this moment in the history of the people of God because it marks a significant shift in the lives of God's people. I love what it tells us about God's character and about God's nature. The backstory to this part of the story of God in the Old Testament is that the people of God, the people of Israel, have come to Samuel, who is their prophet. He is the voice of God to them at that time. They have come to him and said, "Hey, Samuel, we really want a king. We need a king because we want to be like all the other nations around us who have kings. We need a king to lead us, and we need a king to lead us into battle. We want a ruler, someone to rule over us. We want a king." And so Samuel's not sure about this being a great idea, but God says it's okay. And so a man called Saul is chosen to be king, and he's anointed by God to be king of Israel. Whilst he's anointed to be king of Israel, he actually, after a while, doesn't do a very good job at being the king and makes a load of decisions that aren't very good, and that's another part of the story. But essentially, God rejects him as king. And so he sends Samuel off to find the new king. And so we find now Samuel being sent off by God to anoint the new king. One of the things that I love most about scripture is the details in it. I love the little nuances, the things that that really strike me are often those things. And one of the things that struck me when I was reading this passage again was actually is the information that God withholds from Samuel. It's the stuff that he doesn't say to Samuel that really interested me. Because what he says is this. He says to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." If that was me, I would probably give a lot more detail and be a bit more specific to Samuel. And I would probably say something like, "Go on your way and go and anoint the youngest son of Jesse. He's called David, and you'll probably find him in the fields tending sheep." That would be much easier. It would make more sense. He could just go straight there. It would be more efficient, put it that way. But God's not always about efficiency. He's also about what happens in between. And I love this moment because what happens is that Samuel clearly has to learn something about the nature and the character of God, because when he walks in and he sees Eliab, Jesse's first son, he's like, "Whoa, this must be the guy." And God says, "Hold on a second." So Samuel clearly needs to learn something in this process. But the other thing that I really love is that God, in his wisdom, felt like he had to make sure that this truth had to make it into his word for all of time, so that all the generations in future history could know this specific truth about the nature and the character of God. And so when Samuel walks in and he sees Eliab and he says, hey, this must be the guy, presumably because he looks a certain way, God says this to Samuel: do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Here's the truth that is now inserted into the Word of God, the living, breathing Word of God, for us for all time to know about the nature and the character of God. And that's this: that his eyes, his sight, his perspective is more focused on the inside than it is on the outside. God's perspective is more focused on the inside than it is on the outside. So when I ask the question, do you spend too much time, how much time are you spending or investing in living from the outside? What I'm really asking is, how much of your identity is being formed and shaped by things that occur on the outside, outside factors? So now we're talking about things like comparison. We're talking about things like competition. We're talking about things the fear of others' opinions about you. We're talking about the judgments that you place on other people and the fear of judgment that comes towards you. We're talking about your reactions to the way that someone treats you or the way that you treat someone. It's my belief that many of us are living too much on the outside, from the outside. And that God's perspective is first and foremost on the inside. And if you want an identity that is solid and firm, your perspective will also be focused primarily on the inside, not the outside. Does that make sense? So one example for us at the moment, for Helena and I, as we parent our kids, is that it's really easy to parent from the outside. As in, it's really easy to make decisions about your children, and particularly in your interactions with your children, it's really easy to interact with them based on what you think other people are thinking about the way you're parenting your children. So at the moment, and some of you may have actually faced this with my own children, that they're actually quite shy around people they don't know very well. They are absolutely all over it when they know someone well, but when they don't, they're actually quite shy. Now, this is providing us with a challenge, particularly in a public setting, because they find themselves often in rooms of people they don't know a lot of them very well. And so when lots of very lovely people come up to them and say, hey, they're like, get away from me. Now, that can appear really rude and not very respectful, which we understand, but we also don't want to force our kids to be people that they're not meant to be. And so we're at the moment riding this balance where we're trying to teach our kids to be loving and respectful to the people around them, but we're also not wanting them to become people that they're not. And so it's really easy from our perspective, when our kids are really shy around people, is to get really worried about what those people are thinking. And so we say to them, hey, say hello. Please say hello. Smile. You know, and it's really easy to do that because they come across rude and all that kind of stuff. And we're really wrestling with that at the moment. But it's really easy for our attention to be on the outside thing, the outside person and what they're thinking, rather than about actually what's going on with our kids. And so some of us struggle with loads of different things and different outside factors. But remember, God is more focused on your inside than he is on your outside. King Saul, who was the king before David, was a man who sadly spent too much time living on the outside. When David kind of bursts onto the scene in the next chapter, actually, of Samuel, and he fights Goliath and he kills the giant, an amazing thing happens, and David's suddenly thrust into the public world. We see that in Saul's reactions, he is a man who has foundationally built his identity on outside influence. It's shaky. when David kills Goliath and the armies come home, the people back home start to write songs about what's been going on. And the songs go something like this. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And what that does to Saul is he cannot handle the success of another person in his life. He cannot handle it. And so all the jealousy and all the comparison and all the competition and all the fears of people's opinions and all that stuff just rises right to the top of the surface. And suddenly you find a man who is in a position of great influence, foundationally shaky in his identity, because he's built it on the outside, not on the inside. So where are you building your identity? Are you building it from the outside, or are you building it on the inside? If you build it from the outside, it's going to be really shaky. Trust me. The perspective of God is more focused on the inside, which shows us where his value is. So his perspective is more on your inside, which means that he values that more than he does the outside. That's just like, it's just an obvious thing. This is really important, because being able to see things and people the way that God does is key to our growth. If you've got a Bible, flick over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for me. We're going to spend the rest of our time just looking at some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I think build upon some of the stuff that we're taking out of that Samuel passage. So verse 16 in chapter 4 says this: "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is unseen is eternal." Just before, a few verses earlier, Paul's writing about the power of the resurrection in people's lives, which is why the therefore is there. He says, therefore, do not lose heart. Therefore, do not lose heart, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. The power of the resurrection, being raised up. So Paul writes that, and then he says, therefore, do not lose heart. The Amplified translates it like this: therefore, we do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. I reckon there's a lot of people living the life of faith who can really relate to those words: discouragement, feeling spiritless, being disappointed, and being afraid. That's what the Amplified translates as losing heart. Do not lose heart, Paul says. So what happens when we lose heart? Well, those things happen. Lots of other things happen, and it's going to be different for every person in the room. When you lose heart, it will be different for you. But here's something that will be true for all of us, based on what we've just talked about out of Samuel. When we lose heart, we lose the perspective and the value of God. Because his perspective is primarily on your heart, which shows us that his value is on your inside rather than your outside. So when you lose heart, you lose his perspective and you lose his value. This passage unpacks a whole load of things, and it talks about, it gives us some parallels to look at, which I guess builds on what we've talked about in Samuel. It talks about the inside and the outside. It says this: though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. It talks about the eternal and the temporary. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what we can't see is eternal. And it talks about being seen or unseen. So we've got inside and outside. We've got eternal and temporary, and we've got unseen, and we've got seen. Okay? Stick with me. So in Samuel, God says to Samuel, I look on the inside. Man looks on the outside, but God is looking on the inside. In Corinthians, Paul writes, outwardly, we are wasting away. As in, all this stuff here is just temporary. It's just wasting away. Our lives, the building, clothes, money, blah, 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 whatever you put it, it's all wasting away. It's just a temporary thing. Just a temporary thing. It's wasting away. And yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. So the focus and attention of our lives, if it's on the outside, we have a temporary focus. It's just temporary. If we're concerned so much about our appearance, if we're worried about competition and comparison, if we're worried about the opinions of others over the opinion of God, if it's all outside focused, our whole life is built on a temporary reality. It's just temporary. It's just... And yet if our focus is on the inside, as it is with God, God is focused in our inside more than he is on our outside. We're building a foundation that is solid and secure because it is eternal. How many of you know that if you can see your insides from the outside, things are not the way they should be? If you can see your insides from the outside, things are not looking good for you. Probably. I'm not a doctor. And Paul writes in this passage in 2 Corinthians, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Don't focus all your attention on all this stuff that you can see. It's all temporary. It's wasting away. But we focus on what is unseen. Is your focus and attention on the unseen place? So Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Some of us have lost our heart. You lost your heart. You've lost your heart. You're feeling discouraged and afraid and whatever else you want to put on it. We've lost heart. Some of us have lost heart. And Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. If you lose heart, you lose the perspective of God and you lose the value of God. It's my belief this evening that God would love to bring some renewal and some restoration into the hearts of people who need it. Because that's what he loves to do. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Isn't that just the work of God in our lives? Just constant renewal. And sometimes we miss that day-by-day renewal of God in our lives because we're so focused on all this outside, temporary stuff. If you're building over here, you're building on shaky ground. Okay, I brought a friend with me. It's a bit weird. It's not actually my friend. It's actually Rafi's friend. Anyone know who this is? Moana. Anyone seen the film Moana? Great, that's better. Loads of you. Good. This is Moana. Moana is the main character of a recent Disney film. And if you haven't seen the film, can I highly recommend that you see it? It's all about identity. The whole film is just really all about identity. I want to read you a synopsis of the film, and then I want to play you a clip from the film. Okay? I couldn't play the clip earlier because it was too scary for the kids. And I don't think we've got any kids in the room. If you feel like you might be scared of the Disney animation, I won't judge you. Only I can see and everyone else. All right. So, if you don't know the film, here's a quick synopsis. Moana is a sea voyaging enthusiast and the only daughter of a chief in a long line of navigators. When her island's fishermen can't catch any fish and the crops fail, she learns that the demigod Maui caused the blight by stealing the heart of the goddess Tefiti. The only way to heal the island is to persuade Maui to return to Fiti's heart. So Moana sets off on an epic journey across the Pacific. So, a guy called Maui steals the heart of a goddess who essentially oversees the thriving nature of this island they live on. He steals the heart, and Te Fiti, who's the goddess, whose heart's been stolen, just turns into this crazy thing. Just horrible. You're going to see it. It's awful. You'll be really scared. Hopefully not. She turns into a real monster. Her heart's gone. She turns into this crazy thing. The island's crops start to fail. Everything starts to go wrong. And Moana's task is to restore Te Fiti's heart. We catch it in the film. We catch it at the moment where she's got the heart and she is about to meet Te Fiti face to face across the ocean. Okay? You ready, Mark? Let's watch Moana.
Te Fiti, it's gone. Let her come to me. I have crossed the horizon to find you. Not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. Who you truly are.
Let me read you the words of the song that Moana sings to Te Fiti. She sings, "I've crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are." I'm trying to bring all these different strands together now into this one moment where we have an understanding that God's sight of you and his perspective of you is more focused on your inside, is on your heart, more than it is on the outside. And that tells us what he values. Therefore, if we lose heart, we begin to lose what he values and where his perspective is. And if you find yourself this evening building your identity from the outside, just keeping up appearances, you're building on shaky ground. And I believe with all my heart this evening that God wants to begin, if that's you, a renewal process in your heart where he restores your heart. Some of you in the room may even recognize that sense of what you turn into when your heart's not good. And I believe tonight that God wants to do some restoring in our hearts. So I want to read that again. And this time, hear the voice of God over your life, not the voice of Moana, although she's great too. Hear the voice of God. I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. What we're going to do in terms of response this evening is we're going to, if for you, you feel like that stuff is real relevant and you want to respond, I'm going to invite you out tonight. I'm going to invite you forward. I'm going to invite you to come stand here. And we're going to have some people around to pray, with you. It's always a brave thing to do. But we're going to be brave. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite people to come, and we'll go from there. We'll see how it goes. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your eyes are more focused on our hearts than they are on what's going on the outside. Thank you that it is your desire and your longing to bring renewal and restoration to people's hearts. And Father, for anyone for whom there's recognition tonight of things that are being formed on the outside, we pray, Father, that you would come and you would gently begin just to work and do what you do on those things. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. So, if you want to come pray, now's a great time. Why don't you just begin to come? We want to pray for you. Prayer ministry team, can I have you first, please, wherever you are? And guys, musicians, you can, unless you want to respond, you can get to your stations too. Great. Okay. So, if you'd like someone to gather around you and you'd like someone to pray with you, just as we begin to start playing, I'm going to invite you to come. Okay, be brave. If it's you, if it's not you, don't move. Just keep worshiping. But be brave. Okay? I'm going to jump back up again in a couple of minutes. And it make another invitation just in case you need it. But if you know that stuff tonight for you is that's going on for you, don't leave without connecting with someone. It doesn't have to be someone here. It can be someone next to you. But just don't go without connecting with someone. Okay? Don't leave the building. Yeah, come. Find someone to pray with. Catherine. Just don't leave without connecting with someone. All right? We're going to just start to worship nice and gently. And then I'll jump up again in a minute and invite you again. Okay?